Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 134 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two best friends, Garrett Drake.
Hey, dudes.
And Jacob Alka.
Hey, dudes.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Quite well. I've had some T-Bell, actually full of it, and I'm very excited to talk video games and beyond with you gentlemen today.
Awesome. Jacob, how are you?
I'm good. Had a good week. It was Christmas this past week. Got some cool stuff, had some good times with some family, and now we're back here. We had our T-Bell, and we're ready to talk some video games.
As always, yeah.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Great. How was your Christmas?
It was fine. I got some candy, some undies, and a Captain Phasma candy dispenser.
Tell them what kind of undies.
Harry Potter boxer briefs.
That's nice.
They're very cool, yeah. So that's exciting. I got a Pooh Bear as well because my mom knew I loved Pooh Bear as a child. And just for the sake of nostalgia, I guess, she got me a Pooh Bear.
That's nice.
Like a stuffed animal?
Yeah, he's right over there. I don't know if you can see him from your angle. But he's a good,
see him?
He's a good Pooh Bear.
He's wearing a nice, what are those hats called?
Bowler hat, maybe?
Bowler hat?
Is it a bowler hat?
It's like,
the paper boy hat.
The paper boy hats, yeah.
I think they're called bowler hats. No, bowler hats are...
I thought they're the...
They have the rim, the but it's like... And it looks like an actual bowl with a rim.
Yeah.
This hat's so dumb.
It's like a 1930s gangster hat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah. Nothing much... At least on Christmas Day, nothing else aside from that. Yeah. So. It was fun, though. It was great spending time with family, as always.
Yeah, for sure. Well, if we're talking about what we're getting, I guess I got a chair and a desk for my PC.
I noticed that you had that cool chair. I need to invest in one of those. My chair sucks so much. I thought I was upgrading, but in fact, I wasn't.
Didn't you just get a new one?
Yeah. In the store, it felt really comfortable, but the longer I sit in it, the worse it is.
What chair did you get, Jacob?
I don't remember the brand. It's this black and white chair.
I got a black and white chair, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did it come from Amazon?
I did get it on Amazon. Oh. My parents asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I said I'd like a new desk and a new chair. And they kind of showed me some chairs on Amazon that they were looking at. And I was like, yeah, I'd like any of these. And they just kind of bought the chair. So I don't really know what chair it is.
Okay.
But, it's comfortable.
Looks like Preston's trying to find it, maybe? About it.
No, I'm finding my chair.
I think he has a Corsair chair.
And it's I got probably the Corsair.
Yeah, that's nicer
chair
than mine. Holy crap.
To keep up with everything I have in my room that's Corsair. Got to keep it all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you have a Corsair fidget spinner?
Not yet.
That's is that mechanical keyboard you got at Corsair?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but besides that, I got a Amazon Echo Dot.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't really used it yet because I'm trying to set up my Amazon account, but it's not letting me access the Echo for some reason.
Okay.
It's really weird. I need to call their customer support.
Yeah, my uncle is all into the... Oh, no, he's doing the Alexa
thing.
Yeah, he has, like, all his power outlets synced up
so he can
turn
control the house.
Yeah, he, like, controls everything. He's super into it.
Yeah, I mainly just wanted it for another alarm clock and just to ask it questions and shit. I thought that's cool. But that's pretty much all the cool stuff that I got. Preston, did you get anything?
Yeah, I got surprised. I didn't really, ask for anything, honestly. Getting my computer was, more than enough.
Right, yeah.
Especially from, my wife. But she surprised me. She got me a bunch of clothes, some new shoes, some, Blu-rays and stuff. So, just some cool stuff like that. My parents got me that Corsair chair. And my grandparents surprised me with a mechanical keyboard. I think it's the K95. I believe, which took me by surprise because I didn't really ask for one or anything. So that was a nice surprise. And I like it. It's cool. I don't think it's like life changing or anything. Some people, I don't know, kind of led me to believe that a mechanical keyboard would completely like reinvent the way that you would play PC games. And that's not the case. I mean, it's really nice. And I like it a whole lot. But it's just a nice keyboard.
I think a lot of people just like the sounds of the keys.
Yeah, I got the Cherry switches.
Oh, yeah.
So it's...
Is it a Corsair keyboard?
It is.
That they got you?
Okay. Yeah. It's it is clicky, but it's not super, super clicky, but there is a, you know, a satisfying click to it. So
yeah. I have the same kind of clicks. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to come off as I don't like it, cause I absolutely love it. But,
sorry, that was pointed over there.
At Neptune.
The cone of the mic was pointed to the side of the wall almost.
I mean, it's tilted already. I feel like this.
You just threw off the conversation.
Our sound's going to be crooked.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Anyways, what was it? Oh, yeah. So I definitely like it a whole lot. So I guess that's all I really have to say about that. That's pretty much all I got. You know, obviously candy and socks and stuff.
I forgot to mention, I got one other thing. I got one of those huge mouse pads that you like put onto your keyboard.
Oh yeah, I got one of those too.
It's really nice.
Yeah,
I have a ton of room to move my mouse now, so I can up or lower my sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it now.
Yeah, I've had one of those as well, and they're really nice. The keyboard that they got me doesn't have the number pad.
Okay.
So it's significantly smaller. So with the big pad and a smaller keyboard, I have like 30 feet, you know, for my mouse pretty much.
What are you, how are you going to do your calculations without your number pad and stuff?
That's
you got a number crunch in the middle of a battle.
All my calculations are up here, bro.
It's impressive. Yeah. I'm talking about like Jay when we were playing PUBG this week, spitting off all these math problems out of nowhere. But he'd look, oh, so there's 36 people left. He'd be like, there are precisely four teams left or something. And I wouldn't even be able to compute what he was saying until like 5 minutes later. I'm so slow with math. So
I got a GameStop gift card as well, which I'll probably go buy a Steam card and in turn buy Rainbow Six Siege because I've been wanting that.
I'm excited for you to join me.
Yeah. But we played a ton of PUBG this week.
We did.
Me, you, and Jay.
Mm-hmm. I played some PUBG at Evan's house last night on the Xbox. It's rough, dude.
Does he have the X or?
No, he has regular
just
Xbox.
Just regular?
One. Ooh. It does not run.
Does he like it despite how bad it runs?
Yeah, I mean, he likes it, but it also just really makes you angry because he's gotten really close to winning a couple times and he just loses for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. He gets really pissed off.
I've seen a lot of people win by getting in a car and just driving in circles because it's so hard to aim that it's just kind of beneficial to run over everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I played two rounds that night and I pretty much made it to the top 15 every time. Just each time I found a car and I was able to just.
How does it feel on a controller to you?
I mean, it's floaty. It doesn't feel good.
Mm.
There's like a slight delay when it's not great.
Yeah. There are videos of people, you know, showing a controller with the screen in the background and they'll take like a pencil and tap the stick and like a second later.
Yeah.
You know,
that's how I felt when I first played Dishonored 2 for a while. And then I had to get used to how the game felt.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because of his internet or what, but it was taking things so long to render into the world. So like I would go into a house, there'd be nothing in there, like nothing. I wouldn't see anything in the house.
Like no furniture or anything.
Then I'd go into the second house. There was still nothing. Then like halfway through the house, everything, all the textures would start like updating and shit. So it was interesting. I don't recommend the Xbox version.
At least not right now. If you have the X, maybe.
I don't know.
But no.
It wasn't the best experience.
I'm not hearing too many good things about the X version either. Mm-hmm. Just at a higher resolution, I guess. But I didn't really have the PUBG bug really bite me until this past week. I just had a lot more fun than I've usually had playing the game. I'm sure it had to do with just being with you and Jay and us actually trying to win for a couple of hours. We came very close
a couple of times. Yeah, and they're like the top, like number two. We get number two.
And that's the most frustrating thing to me is I am not good enough at the game. I'm not really good at the game at all. I'm probably the most mediocre PUBG player of all time. And when it gets to those situations where you really have to be good, mm-hmm. I'm just not that good.
That's what's so exhilarating about it towards the end, that rush.
Yeah, it is fun. I mean, when we first drop down, and this happened several games, I kill people, we take over the complexes that we land near, and we kill the people, and we loot and everything. It's always when it gets to that, the final, you know, area, either people always get the jump on us or, you know, we're not getting lucky enough. We're not preparing good enough, or we're just
The barrier killed us a couple times too.
Yeah. We died a lot.
There was one match that I know without a shadow of a doubt we would have won if we had not underestimated the barrier, which we've grown accustomed to. I mean, I typically try not to underestimate it, but it'll catch up on you if you're not paying attention, obviously. Oh, yeah. And it was the desert map. We were up on a cliff. One of us, I think it was Jay, had a sniper, didn't he? Or did I have a sniper? One of us had a sniper.
I don't remember.
We all had long range weapons up on a cliff. There were only two or three teams left, and they were all just way down below us. Like, we just had to jump on them. We could have sniped all of them. We sniped one, two or three people from up there from different teams. And we're like, wow, there's no way we can win this. And then the barrier caught up to us. We're like, crap. So we had to jump off a mountain, lost half our health doing that, running forward. I think Preston and Jay got shot along the way. And then,
yeah, it was running to that house.
Yeah,
we got sniped
across a giant field, and I managed to get past all that. And as I was running, I died due to the barrier killing me. It was very depressing. Mm-hmm. That was the worst loss of the evening that night. So super fun, though. A bunch of fun stories from that game.
Yeah, I know I'm super late to the party, but
that's what's fun is that even though it's been around since I think March is when early access started with something like that.
Yeah,
it's still just. Not only is it super popular, but it's still growing tremendously. Yeah. So, yeah, I love playing that game.
I think they just hit 3 million concurrent players.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're still going.
That's absolutely incredible.
I think the console version has already sold like 4 million copies, I think.
Jeez.
That's amazing.
I think that's what I read.
That game's unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
It is, though. They made the perfect... It was someone either on a podcast or something else I was listening to. Someone said, what do you think the it factor is of PUBG? And they say it's the stories. Because yeah. It really is. The story, like every match is totally different. Even if you die right at the beginning, there's always some kind of story to tell.
Yeah. Is PUBG being counted on NPD charts or as the best-selling games of the year? Because I know Call of Duty, people are saying that's the best-selling game of the year, but yeah. Did it sell more than 24 or 5 million copies?
Less.
I doubt it.
Yeah. But just in terms of copies sold, I haven't heard PUBG on any of these lists of best-selling games. Maybe because it's early access, maybe it doesn't count.
Isn't
since
NPD
it's not like,
like physical copies?
Maybe. Maybe that's it. That would make more sense.
Let's take a 5-second breather so I can filter out this air that plagues us every episode. All right, we're good. We need a room that doesn't blow like a wind turbine into it. That'd be great.
It's not too bad.
It's bad, trust me, before I get it out of there. It literally sounds like we're blowing a hairdryer into the mics.
It could be worse.
It could be worse, yeah, but it's still very bad.
I used to think in ways that things could always be worse.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I also think the same way, but just because something can be worse doesn't mean something isn't already very bad. Like this case. But anyway, what else is going on this week? What'd you do this week?
It's
going
to be New Year's when this goes on.
It will be New Year's Day. Happy New Year to everyone.
Everyone.
That works January 1st, because some people like in Australia, it's already the 2nd.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Not right now, but on Monday.
Oh, okay.
It'll already be the 2nd.
I thought you meant like right now. I was like, how does that work?
The foreigners from the future.
I just looked at the NPD and PUBG is nowhere on that thing. Mm. So I'm sure it has to do with physical copies or big retail release or something like that.
Yeah. Do you think they'll count it starting with the 1.0 version and onward?
I would assume.
Because that would suck. Because I would be annoyed that my game wouldn't chart just because it wasn't
considered
the full version.
I think they're good.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be annoyed to the point where it'd drive me mad, but still. I guess you already know how many it's sold anyway.
You get like 20-something million sales. That's a pretty good prize in itself.
Yeah, definitely.
But New Year's coming up. I'm excited for today, I guess, when this posts.
Mm-hmm.
Excited for football.
Yeah, we will all be watching a game, probably. Are you working on New Year's Day?
No, I'm off, so.
I assume we'll all be watching the game.
Yeah,
I assume so. I know at noon we got Auburn and UCF. That'll be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Georgia and Oklahoma, then Clemson and Alabama. And hopefully our dogs are going all the way this year.
They are.
They are.
It happened.
I've seen it.
You've seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for...
Thank you.
I'm almost nervous to watch the game on Monday because I haven't had any time to watch any of the games but one this season.
Uh-huh.
And we've been doing tremendously. All I've watched is the highlights. So I'm kind of afraid to start watching now. What if I watch and we get killed?
The only game you watched was the Georgia Tech game.
Almost. I watched all of it, but a quarter.
We did very good that game.
That's good. So. Okay. It makes me feel a little better.
If the only game you watched was the first time we played Auburn, then I would be a little concerned for you to watch this one. You might have to sit it out.
Yeah.
That was the only hiccup this year.
Yeah.
So far.
And we redeemed ourselves. We beat
tremendously
every team that we played this year. So I'm not quite nervous yet. But the first time we played Auburn, I had a really weird feeling in my stomach, so I almost could sense it coming. But the second time we did, I felt good about it. And I can't tell if I feel good yet about our game Monday. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. Probably tomorrow I'll have a worse or better feeling.
I feel very confident about it.
Yeah,
Georgia is going to win.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Someone's got to be confident in them. And I'm not just saying, I'm not like choosing to feel the way. I just feel like it's how it is going to be.
That's nice. So. I don't know why I keep thanking you about that. It's like you've sealed their fate, so I'm thanking you for it.
I call the shots of Georgia's win-loss ratio.
No, I think we'll do good. But anyways, yeah, I look forward to 2018, and we'll probably be talking a little bit about video games in 2018.
I'd like to.
And a little bit
so.
About video games in 2017 as well.
We most certainly will.
Absolutely.
Best of both worlds. Best of both years.
For sure. Did you guys play a lot or a little amount of games this week?
I played a good bit, actually, mostly in the evenings and the mornings before I started working this week. Obviously, we talked about playing PUBG a good bit. And we probably played close to 20-plus matches between those two nights we played.
Yeah, wow. My hours in that game on Steam shot up a ton this week.
Yeah, that was so fun. We need to get Jacob in with us as well.
Mm-hmm. What have you played the most on Steam?
Overall?
Yeah. Is it PUBG?
No. Probably Assassin's Creed Origins.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
You spent a ton of time in that game.
80-something hours, but I don't think I actually played 80 hours. I think it just... My game was up for 80 hours because I would leave it on the pause screen and go do stuff when I was playing that match. So
yeah.
I'm sure that is contributing to it. But I know PUBG, I'm like at 20-something. So, but I was not even in double digits, I think, before this past week. Mm-hmm. So
I think I have like maybe 2 or 3 hours.
Oh wow.
On PUBG.
Yeah, I think PUBG is the most for me, but Siege is catching up quickly. I played a ton of that this week. What was that, Jacob?
It's a notification.
Oh yeah,
Nier Automata is pretty high. I'm at 30 or 40 something hours.
Yeah, I'm probably similar, except I'm on PlayStation.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah,
but are we talking
again
about?
I don't know if it counts if you're I'm sure it counts. If I'm at a pause screen, it's still counting that as time. So
yeah,
I'm sure they're not even close to accurate numbers. But.
We're talking about what we played this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So you played PUBG.
PUBG and Siege.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of Metro 2033 as well. I finished Last Light and I loved it. I was like, man, I need more of this. So I, not reluctantly, but I was hesitant about jumping into 2033 because I liked Last Light so much. I didn't know how much of a difference it would be, but I forgot that both of them, this is the Redux version of both games, so they're both remastered together. And 2033 feels identical to Last Light on PC. Even the way it looks, feels, and sounds, everything feels exactly the same, so liking it a lot. So I'm going to finish that. I'll have finished both 2033 and Last Light, and I'll be even more excited for Exodus. Hopefully it comes out next year. I think it's slated for next year, but we'll see if that actually happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
That's cool.
And it's not an Xbox exclusive.
No.
Only not like it, because it was shown during their thing, right?
Yeah.
E3.
Advertising that X.
For sure.
But Exodus, though, it's cool rewatching the trailer, not only to hear everyone's live reaction at Xbox's press conference at E3 last year, but to see some of the creatures that I could recognize and name, and also the lead character.
Yeah.
Who's confirmed to return in the third
Altium.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Cool.
I can't wait for you to get to the library.
That's what I'm most looking forward to. That's half the reason I wanted to play 2033 is because everyone talks about that.
Yeah, that part is really cool.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. Very excited for that.
Awesome. Play anything else?
I don't think so. I think that's all I played. But obviously I'm loving PC and Siege especially. Dude, I liked it a lot on PS4 and I had a decent amount of experience in it, but it is a totally different world on PC. Not just in terms of the way it feels, but just the way the matches play out and everything. Because obviously on keyboard and mouse, it's just totally different. Like most games that are on console and PC, it's different. Mm-hmm. But it is just... Absolutely. The moment-to-moment gameplay is nothing short of exhilarating the entire time. Like PUBG, I feel pretty exhilarated in every firefight when I'm just running around doing nothing. I'm kind of just looking for something to do, which I still love that game. But Siege, I'm always on edge because whether you're on offense or defense, you never quite know. I mean, you can have a general idea of where you think people might be, but I just love the unpredictability of that game. And just, I mean, it's a slow game for sure, but that's what's so beautiful about it. Because, for example, when you're setting up on defense, I'm not going to go on too much of a tangent because a ton of you already play Siege, but you know, you can pick any number of the operators that you've unlocked, and they all have different gadgets and weapons that play into strengths and weaknesses of other characters and counteract other characters. So my favorite defender right now is Bandit. And he's a guy who has, I mean, he has a couple different things, but I like to choose his barbed wire, and he has these little electric batteries that you can set traps through doors and other passageways that'll shock people if they try to break in. So I'll go up to all these windows and doors or whatever objective we're protecting and place the barbed wire. So if someone busts in the window, if they hit the barbed wire, it'll slow them down tremendously. And then the electric bit will shock them while they're stuck there. So that's pretty effective on defense. But he also has a, I can't remember the name of the actual submachine gun, this little tiny little submachine gun that's so deadly at medium to close range. I mean, it kills so quickly, especially if you get someone in the head. And I just love, I mean, it's just funny because when you're on defense, you are camping somewhere, because it's, if you run out into the open, you'll die instantly. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to like camp in a corner and just when you, and the sound design is intentionally flawless in that game. You can hear people walking above you. And like, it reminds me of that scene in Signs where they're in their house and they hear the aliens about to invade their home, and they hear them like running outside and they hear them on the roof and everything. And they're mm-hmm. like, they're upstairs. They're outside and you hear them like banging on the door and stuff. That's what the whole match feels like. You're just waiting for someone to break into the room you're hiding in. And like the leaning mechanic is brilliant too, because you can pop out like a little piece of wood in a window or something and then just lean right through the hole. And if you see someone down the hall, you can pop them and everything. So it's really awesome just how thrilling it is every match. But I think the coolest experience I've had on PC so far, I was going to share this a little bit from an offensive match I had. My whole team was trying to break into this log cabin. I can't remember the name of the map, but all of my teammates had died except for me and one other guy. And one guy was a big guy with a riot shield. I can't remember his name. A few of the characters have riot shields, but he's armored with a riot shield and a pistol. And I was playing his IQ. It has a little sensor gadget that when you flip it open, you can see through walls to see where they've placed like C4 and other traps. And you can also see another character called Pulse, who has a little heartbeat monitor, who can look through walls and see if people are sneaking up on you. So she's kind of a counteract to him. But anyway, it was me, us two, and there was four players left on the other team somewhere in this log cabin. And we've been trying to break in this main entrance the entire time. So while my riot shield guys has his shield trying to pop guys around this corner and they're all focused on him, I sneak around the other side of the cabin and I rappel up to a window and I bust in. And as soon as I bust in, a character called Doc, who can heal other players and heal and revive himself, is right on this balcony trying to shoot my teammate down in the hallway. But he sees me bust in because I make a lot of noise. So it's the coolest thing. As I'm swinging in, I'm like, boom, 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 like shooting at him. And I nail him in the legs and he goes down, because once someone goes down, they can be revived if you don't shoot him in the head. So for a split second, I forgot that he could revive himself. So I land and start going up the second staircase to the balcony where he was. And he gets back up and starts shooting at me. I'm like, oh, shit. So he shoots me and takes down all my health. I think I had like 9% left, which is basically dead. But I ended up killing him before he killed me. So I'm barely alive. But I end up going down this back hallway and onto the opposite side of this room where the entire enemy team is held up. There's three of them left, and me and my buddy on the team. So we come together on this, in this hallway together, and there's one armored doorway that's blocking us, and only certain characters can bust through armored doorways. So I take a frag grenade and I toss it under the crack of the armored door, and it blows the hole in the wall, and they all start just firing like crazy. And the most beautiful part about this is that me and this guy weren't communicating at all. It's just like this psychological sinking we had out of nowhere. As soon as that door busts and they start firing on us, he pulls up his riot shield and just walks in, and I'm behind him leaning, just like popping like this, and I nail two guys, and then I lean the opposite direction and shoot another guy in the corner. We killed all three of them as I hid behind him with the riot shield, and just bullets ricocheting off it. It was like the coolest thing ever. Nice. And then every other match I played after that, I was awful, but nice. That moment I was like, that was so awesome. And that's why I just have been playing it nonstop this week. It was so much fun, dude.
Is there a competitive mode?
There's a ranked mode when you hit level 20, but I've heard it's just death if you don't have a full team to play with. Because I hear,
so you don't intend on trying that?
If I have a full squad to play with,
what, which you just don't want to queue up single, and
I'll try it, but I hear a lot of I don't know why this happens. So apparently there's a lot of team killing in ranked for some reason, and people are very impatient with people that don't have a full team, which I can understand completely. Even people, I will say the Rainbow Six Siege community, in my experience so far on PC, is very, very toxic. I mean, if you F up, people hate you so much in the game, which I really love because it's incredibly competitive, because it is very tactical. And if you hit someone in the head, they're going to die, like in a single shot. And it's very satisfying, but it can also be very frustrating. If you just barely peek in a corner, you're just dead instantly. Mm-hmm. Especially if, I mean, there's always a kill cam, but sometimes you just have no clue how you died until you see the kill cam. And you're like, how the F did you hit me from there? So it can drive you crazy, but that game is just so much freaking fun, especially on PC. So
okay.
I want you guys to play with me really badly.
Yeah, I'm picking it up today probably.
And I played with Kyle and Mr. Maybe and I think one or two other guys on the stream the other night. And Kyle's a monster in that game. Like, Kyle led our team the entire time. I got worse and worse as that stream went on, but I have some really good matches and then I have a lot of mediocre matches. Not to the point where I'm like, oh, I can't aim my gun, because the aiming feels incredible in that game. It's just, I don't know the maps very well. That's the biggest struggle. It's learning the characters and what they can do, and also the maps, because if you don't know where people are going to be, you're going to die 1,000 times. So slowly getting used to the maps, but a lot of great times in that game. So I'm excited for you guys to give it a shot.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the coolest gaming moment I've had in a while when we burst into that room and I was hiding behind his riot shield. So cool.
Nice.
So I think that's all I did gaming wise.
Gotcha. Jacob, how about you?
I played a few games this week. Played more Overwatch. The competitive season ended. So I'm not really playing it right now. But I'm excited for the new season to start, season 8. I believe it's this coming week or the week this goes live. So that'll be fun.
I enjoyed your Overwatch stream.
Yeah,
and you started watching hentai on stream.
Yeah.
I felt a little awkward because I had your stream on when I was at work.
Oh, are you watching the whole time?
I wasn't like paying that much attention to it, but every now and then I glance over to like see the chat and everything. And one of my coworkers just like walked by and like looked in my little booth and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, my buddy's Twitch streaming. From a distance, you can't see you in the corner. So it looks like I'm just watching some weird anime on my computer. It's like, and then these girls like in their school outfits and everything, it's all pink. He's like, what are you doing, dude? I was like, my friend's Twitch stream. He's like, what the hell is that? I'm like, it's called like Doki Doki Literature Club. I was like, I don't even know how to describe it. And he's like, all right. And he just like walks away. But it was funny.
But yeah, the stream was fun. I basically just streamed like arcade games because I needed to get my loot boxes for the week. You know, you win 9 matches, you get loot boxes. But after that, like I think we had a full squad doing the arcade matches, which was really cool. It was a lot of fun just playing with all the community members. And after that, I opened some loot boxes. I think I opened like 28. Didn't get anything that I wanted. Nothing.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I think I watched you opening some of those.
I got like one skin, but it wasn't even like a...
Didn't you get a Moria skin?
Yeah. And that's the one I liked, but it wasn't a winner.
You got a Moria shirt on today.
Yeah, I do.
So you're a big fan.
I like playing her, yes.
Yeah. She looked cool when I was watching you play her.
Yeah.
I haven't seen too many people play as her, so...
Gotcha.
It was kind of my first taste.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, after I was thoroughly disappointed in my loot box, you know, I didn't get anything I wanted, so it was kind of disappointing. But I did jump into some Doki Doki Literature Club. Mm. Have you guys seen anything about this game? Or I know you've heard of it, but...
Yeah.
The only thing I've seen is from what you streamed.
I have it downloaded. I haven't played it yet.
Right. So I had already played a couple hours when I booted it up on stream. So I was like... You play through the game more than once, and it's meant to be played that way. And it doesn't take too long to get through. It's a lot of, you know, clicking to move the chat, the dialogue, and that's all you do, basically. And you make choices. But it's basically choices about who you, like, the name of a person that you're talking to. But the game is very... I mean, I don't want to say too much.
Yeah, I don't. I know
it's
about
something you
it,
both
but
need
I
to play.
Don't. I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it's hard to describe what the game is without spoiling what's going to happen, but I think it's a game that, you know, you both need to play because it's just interesting how it kind of puts on this, the game itself puts on this persona, but it's something else.
Would this be a fun game to play with Lizzie? Like if we,
it might be. Okay. I mean, you both like anime, right?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, not that it's like an anime show or anything, but it's that art style.
I know she enjoyed what, like Telltale games and stuff. Is it something that you would have fun with somebody else discussing as you play?
Yeah, I mean, but you don't really watch it. You're just kind of
you interact with it though, don't you? Kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'll
you don't really like make choices that your character says or anything. Mm-hmm. It's not like a Telltale game.
Gotcha.
But, like the game has a way that it's going to play out. You just make little, you know, micromental choices.
Gotcha.
But the game just, it messes with your mind. And I'm at a point where I don't even want to start playing the game by myself. And that's all I'll say. That's why I'm going to play it on stream next week. Interesting. So I'm not alone.
Yeah, the more I hear people talk about it, the more interested I am.
So. I had a little jump scare at one point.
Wait, what's some kind of like indoctrination game where it brainwashes you or something?
It might be. Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Maybe.
It's definitely messing with my head, and I'm excited to jump back into it.
That's cool.
But I think the only other thing I played... Oh, I played Nier Automata, completed my second playthrough. Still really enjoying that game. You know, at the end of the second playthrough, you kind of learn a lot of shit about what's actually going on. It's really cool. And that's all
I mean,
I'll
you learn a
that.
Lot, but also you know nothing.
Yeah, you still
either.
Don't know anything. Yeah. So I'm guessing in the next playthrough, I'm really going to learn even more. Yeah. I'm excited about it. And then I played a little more Zelda. I've been doing the Leviathan Bone Quest, where you take pictures of all the old bones.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what it leads to. That's just what I've been doing. And I think I just finished uncovering the whole map. I just got the last tower as I was actually sitting down to do the podcast. But still really excited to play Zelda. Won't be too much longer now till I jump into the DLC.
Nice.
Thrilling.
Yeah, can't wait for that. That's all I played this week.
Very cool. It's been yet another week that I haven't finished something off my backlog, and it's driving me insane at this point. So I sat down a few days ago, and I opened up a notepad, and I wrote down all the games that I needed to finish. And I think one of my big problems is sitting here right now, I can't even remember all the games I need to finish, and that's just a problem when I sit down to play a game. I just look at all the games I have, and I don't know what to play because there's so many. I don't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a list in terms of which ones I feel like I need to beat first, and I'm just going to stick to it. I'm not going to play anything else. I'm not going to go home and pop in Mario. I'm going to go straight to Nier. I have to beat Nier. I just need to suck it up and just finish it. I'm not going to try and 100% complete it because I just don't have time to do that.
There's like a boss at level 100 or something.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I need to just beat the game, know what the story is, you know, have fun playing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the top of my list. Number two is the Champions Ballad DLC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm halfway through that. That would probably take me less than a day to just knock out, just complete Zelda, you know. I want to have fun with it. I want to rush through it, but I'm assuming that would take me less than a day to do.
Yeah, just mean like give it all your time.
Right? Just take my time, focus on it, not take, you know, that's not going to take long. I don't even think I could stretch it to be that long. So there's just, especially with me being halfway through, I should be able to beat that pretty soon. Then after that, I'm jumping back into Resident Evil 7.
Okay. We're about to do that.
Yeah, I've heard great things about the End of Zoe DLC in particular.
Mm-hmm.
It's you play as what was the guy's name?
Redfield.
Not Redfield.
No, that's not a hero.
There's
yeah.
two different DLCs that came out. Oh. End of Zoe and then Not a Hero. But you play as Jack Baker.
Mm-hmm.
You play as his brother. And it's all hand-to-hand combat.
Really?
And I've heard there's combos you do and stuff, and it's super fun.
So we don't see Jack Baker in the main story, right?
Yeah, you do.
Wait, his brother.
You're playing at his brother.
Like the buzz cut guy, right?
That's not his brother. No,
that's his son.
That's his son. We've never seen this guy.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, you threw me off because he asked if we saw him, and then you said yes.
I thought you meant Jack Baker. And I was like,
sorry,
yeah.
I thought his brother was Jack Baker.
No. Jack Baker is the dad.
Guy. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's his name.
That was my
I don't
Mr.
think it's Jack.
It's Mr. Baker.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Baker. I always called him Mr. Baker.
I'm pretty sure his name's Jack Baker.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's his name. You play as that man's brother, whom you don't see in the full game.
Okay.
And I've heard there's some cool story aspects with Umbrella and stuff that have to do with this DLC. And then there's the Not a Hero, where you play as Chris Redfield. And I heard that's fun.
You just kill Molded the entire time?
You just kill stuff. I think it has to do with the sun.
Okay, because he goes to hide in those mines, remember? And you never like know where he went.
Yeah, you go down into the mines. So okay. I think you
the
go
mines.
After him. So, but I was downloading the DLC a couple of days ago, and I just started up wherever I was in the campaign. I had unlimited ammo and was running around in VR shooting stuff. And I really forgot how cool that game was in VR. Mm-hmm. It's really awesome. I've been playing a lot of you know, Vive recently with Fallout and LA Noir and stuff, and it's just a very involved VR experience, which, don't get me wrong, I love as well, but it was just really cool sitting down and putting the headset on and not having to make extreme motions. You're just using a controller and aim. You just move your head. It was just really relaxing, even though it's relaxing as I'm shooting at, you know, Miss Baker crawl at me and stuff. It's right. still horrifying, even knowing it's coming. Mm-hmm. But I really hope we get more games like that, that just kind of have that control style. I know, like, you can play Skyrim VR like that and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just haven't done that yet, but I really like the VR control scheme and just the VR part of, you know, Resident Evil 7. I think it's excellent. And I think it's still, oh man, it's super high up with my favorite VR things for sure. I love it. And then I think next on that list is, I don't know what to do with Mario. Because I love Mario, and every time I jump back into Mario, I have so much fun, and I've almost beaten it. Well, I've almost beaten the story mode, but it's almost like I want to save it just for that occasion where I'm going to be gone. So I don't know if I want to completely dive into it while I'm home and I have other things to play that I can only play when I'm at home. So I'm kind of having a hard time, you know, putting that somewhere. The Evil Within 2. I actually need to beat that. That's a great game that I just need to suck it up and just play through. And then past that, I honestly don't know. I just bought Final Fantasy XII on PS4. It was on sale at Best Buy for like $15.
And is that the Zodiac Age one?
Yeah, the Zodiac Age. So I just decided to pick that up because it looks interesting to me. Lord knows when I'm going to get into it. And just saying that reminded me that Xenoblade 2.
Yeah, I was about
I'm
to
like
mention that.
30 hours into that game. That's honestly probably higher than... That's probably right after Resident Evil because that's not going to take me long. So I'll probably just hop into that. But that's a huge commitment. Yeah, but yeah. I don't mean that in a bad way because I really... That game is fantastic from what I've played so far. That's just super long and... Who knows if I can even beat it before the next, you know, line of games start coming in, which I don't
What's
even think.
What's the next game that comes out? Is it Monster World?
Yeah, Monster Hunter World, which I'm not super jazzed about.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it yet.
It was fun. When we played,
yeah, the beta
was really fun, but I don't know if I'm like, so I don't know if I'm pre-ordering it or anything.
Right.
But
I might just wait to see what people
say. The
next
thing
about
that I'm kind of interested in is Far Cry 5. That comes out in what, February or March, around there?
I think it's March now.
March, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's around God of
War. Or maybe it's April.
Well.
I think it's March.
Okay. Yeah, so we have about 2 or 3 months before the really big stuff starts rolling in. Not to say that Monster Hunter World isn't really big, just in terms, I guess, things that I'm, you know, very interested in.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much the list of things I need to really go through. In terms of what I just played this week, PUBG. You know, I had a lot of fun with that. Nier as well. Kind of like playing off what Jacob said. It's so crazy having beaten the game a second time. Just how that was essentially the beginning of the game, putting in 20 hours just to start your third playthrough. And finally, the title credits come up. Mm-hmm. I was just I'm talking like the credits of the people working on the game, the
like
actual
title
splash. Title
screen.
Yeah, I'm like, this is insane. This is the longest game opening of all time. But yeah, I'm really excited to jump back into the game. I think I've kind of come to grips more with, I think the gameplay is fine. I'm not the biggest fan of it. It's fun hack and slash with, you know, you can do counters and I like the aspect of switching between like shmups and, you know, just the melee combat. That's fine, but what's really pulling me back into the game is the characters and the story overall. The gameplay is good enough to where I'm having fun, but it's kind of a means to just progress the story at this point for me. Because the side quests aren't that cool. Yeah. I mean, there are some characters that are interesting, especially the robot ones interest me the most.
Did you do the one with the fighting guy that was on top of the building?
Yeah, I did all of his.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I kind of cheesed it with hacking.
I didn't do the very last last one for him.
Yeah, it's not hard. You just have to hack him like 50 times for the most part.
What level was he?
Oh, he was, I think he wasn't that high. He was like 60 something.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if he goes away after the second playthrough.
I just liked how he kept changing.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So there are some cool side quests, but there are a lot where you just go to a location, kill some guys and find something or talk to somebody and bring it back. It's just, you know, a means to get more chips, more money, level up, blah, 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 blah.
Buy more healing items.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, there is one boss in the second playthrough. Did you fight that giant snake ball thing?
You mean like the... When
out in
really
the desert?
Out?
No, you go out into the desert. And you fight this snake thing. And it blew my mind from how much it was kicking my ass. And I had to consume like a billion health items to finally beat it.
I did that the first time I fought the last boss.
Okay. Oh, it's not even in the same league as that. It's borderline on... I don't like to say that's unfair, but it felt like the cheapest boss fight I've ever played. Yeah. And I looked it up in Google just to see if I was a little bitch or not, and even other people were like, no, this is the cheapest boss in the game by far, dude. This thing is shooting so many lasers. I can't even see what's on the screen. It's insane. And it introduces this new berserk mode where... they say, oh, go into this berserk mode. So I do it and it drains your health, but you can do significantly, you know, more damage. But once you come out of it, you have no health and you die instantly for the most part, unless you can, you know, get a health pack right away. So they, you know, because they introduced that mechanic to you, you feel like you have to do it initially, but I ended up just not doing it because it was getting me killed.
Yeah, I never use it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a new mechanic that's only introduced in this playthrough. You don't have it, you know, before, but yeah, but that was my only really big complaint, because that felt straight up, it wasn't even satisfying, because I had to just keep spamming health to kill this thing. Like, I feel like I didn't dodge. I was just eating all of its shots at me, and I just had to keep healing myself. But yeah, besides that, the rest of it's fine and fair, you know, for the most part. But yeah, I played that, and I play more Mario. I keep thinking Mario's gonna end, and it keeps going. So I'm on the moon for Mario.
Oh yeah, you're close.
Yeah, so I'm assuming I'm at the very end. But I don't want to spoil the kingdom before that. But I really liked that one with its ancient, you know, Japan aesthetics to it. I thought that was really cool. I ran the rise of Samurai Mario. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. But you good? All right.
I saw a funny beam.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, see it?
That's pretty much all I played this week for the most part.
Nice.
Oh, and I watched.
I know we've all had these nights, or had these days when we've had.
That's great. Nice Taco Bell meme.
Yes.
Anyways, I did watch a lot of My Hero Academia this week. I'm a little past you, I think, a few episodes past you.
Do you pay for, you watch it on Crunchyroll?
No.
Where do you watch it?
Hulu.
Hulu.
I pay for Crunchyroll every month.
Do you
month,
have to pay though, for Hulu to watch it? Like, does Hulu still have that free service?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We have...
Are you doing the English dub?
No.
Or sub?
Sub.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah, no, I'm doing sub, yeah.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, the show gets significantly better as you continue to watch it. I wasn't a big fan of the main character at all the first season. He was fine. He gets better as the first season goes on.
I don't like him that much.
The second season, I really like him.
Okay.
He really grows up in the second season.
Yeah, I don't like whiny people.
Yeah, he's super whiny especially the first half of the first season.
Like Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
And Luke Skywalker. Before Return of the Jedi.
But he matures a lot and becomes significantly cooler, especially in probably the next couple of episodes that you're about to watch.
Deku.
Deku. Everybody has like eight names, and it's so confusing to me. I'm like just now getting to the point where I like read a name and I actually know who they're talking about.
Yeah.
But that's one of the coolest things about the show is all the characters are cool. They're really likable.
Yeah.
Like my wife loves I think her name's Shu, the frog girl.
I hate her.
She cracks her up. She's like this frog girl who ribbits and ribbit. Stuff. That's so funny. My favorite is I forgot his name. The perv with the blue,
the purple balls,
dude. He cracks me up. He's constantly looking at boobs and stuff. It is so freaking funny.
He has the worst superpower.
I know. He has these balls he pulls off the top of his head that he can throw, and people will stick to him. He's just a perv the entire show. Like he's always.
He looks like a kid.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's hilarious.
He looks like a baby.
Yeah. But there's just all the heroes are super cool. And it's funny because some of their powers are just so dumb and it just makes it even funnier. I mean, they're having to come up with so many powers for all these people that some of them are just so dumb, including like that guy's. But at least they play off of it that his power is dumb. Like, mm-hmm. But there are a few situations where he uses it and it actually, you know, comes in handy.
But he's in the hero class.
Yeah, there are a few circumstances where everybody can do something cool. But that's a really cool show. I recommend people check out. Get through the first half of the season because it gets significantly better. Because I've heard all the hype about the show and I stopped watching after 6 episodes and kind of just didn't feel the need to get back to it. But I kind of forced myself to get back into it just because I keep hearing people talk about it and I'm very glad I did because it, you know, like I said, it gets way cooler.
The first season ends well.
Yeah, the first season ends really, really cool.
Get to the end.
Yeah.
And it's only like 13 episodes the first season. Mm-hmm. So, and they're like, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's typical anime show, 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I'm going to jump into that as soon as I finish season 4 of Black Mirror. I started watching Punisher a week or two ago, and I couldn't really get into it.
Really?
Really?
A lot of people love it.
Yeah, I mean, I might go back to it. I mean, I don't. It isn't that I don't want to watch it. I just would rather watch other things right now.
That's probably what I'll watch next.
I think I'm on episode 3 or 4 of Punisher right now. So, but Black Mirror season, I'm not going to talk about Black Mirror too much, but opening episode was awesome. Just started episode 2. Really awesome show. So it's good to have that back. And I got into Black Mirror not too long ago. So I finished season 3 a month or two ago. So I didn't have to wait very long for season 4, which is cool. So that's been cool. I saw Jumanji Christmas Day with Casey. And it wasn't half bad. I liked it. Yeah, it was just a fun time in the movies. And genuinely funny at parts. So I thought The Rock was really funny, especially in the movie.
Okay.
So, yeah. If you want to have a fun time in the movies, Jumanji's pretty good.
That's cool. I saw Star Wars a second time since I've been on the podcast. I forgot about that. Yeah, I saw it again on Christmas Eve. And I liked it. I liked it way better this time. I think because the things that I don't really care for that much, I just knew they were coming. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just accepted the fact they were there. And I was more excited to see the parts that I actually liked a lot. So still the main, I'm not going to get spoilery, but you know, the cool part everybody knows about, that part is still so freaking cool.
It is.
I love seeing it again.
Yeah.
But,
that's going to be a scene I watch and repeat, like the scene from Batman v Superman with Batman clearing the warehouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That scene, when it winds up on YouTube, inevitably, I will watch that over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool. And even the things that I didn't like this time, I just, whatever about it. So I thought it was a good time. I don't understand this is the worst movie of all time.
I don't get that
mantra.
Either.
It makes no sense to me. That's a fun time. And like I told you, even with all the nitpicks and stuff, I think, in my opinion, as a not hardcore Star Wars fan, so take it with a grain of salt, if you will, I think the overall storyline, like the main points that it hits and the way that, you know, the things that it does to prep for the next movie, I think those were done fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for the next one. That's all I have to say about Star Wars.
Sounds good.
I did go on YouTube 2 nights ago and watch all of the lightsaber battles from all the movies combined. And Darth Maul fight is still, I think, my favorite.
It's awesome.
Well, that one and Revenge of the Sith. The Attack of the Clones fights, I didn't think looked that cool. Mm-hmm. Even though Anakin got two lightsabers at one point.
Yeah.
Which wasn't as cool as I thought.
My favorite lightsaber battle was Dooku versus like Obi-Wan, Anakin, and then Yoda.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with Yoda back then.
Watching the Dooku Yoda fight, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I remember people laughing out loud in the theater when I first saw it.
I thought it was the coolest thing. I remember I was little at that point. I was going in my backyard and trying to like recreate that scene. That's awesome.
That's funny. But anyway, anything else you guys want to touch on before we actually get into this one?
I watched Noclip's Horizon documentary. It was very cool.
Okay.
I love seeing prototype versions of games that go on to be huge successes and look totally different in their finished product, but it was cool to see how that game came to be and why it ended up being the way it was, which is really awesome.
And why it became your game of the year.
Yeah, but other than that, I am almost finished with Jason Schreier's book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. It really is. I mean, I already had somewhat of a respect just out of the general knowledge, you know, about the production of video games, but I have even more of a deeper respect for game developers. Now, whether you're a AAA developer or you're an indie developer, it is insane what you have to go through to make a video game. It's unbelievable. And I think my
except
favorite...
Except for EA.
Yeah, except for them.
Yeah.
Screw them.
There's a bit about EA in the book having to do with Dragon Age Inquisition. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
What about it?
Just about how at the years leading up to Inquisition's release, EA had been voted worst company in America, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And talked about them wanting to...
Right that wrong.
Yeah, repair their image, I guess you could say. And it's funny how now it's probably really even worse than it was then.
It wasn't but, a great game. I mean, it was a fine game.
Yeah, but it was mostly about BioWare specifically, but from Dragon Age 2 and why that ended up the way it did into Inquisition was really interesting.
Okay.
My favorite chapter so far in the book, though, is Shovel Knight. So funny. It reminds me of us trying to do It's Obvious Gaming in a way where you just start something out of nothing and just hope for the best. But their story is genuinely funny and awesome. So they named their company Yacht Club Games just out of irony because they had no jobs, no income, and they lived in like a tiny apartment together. So they thought it was funny to call themselves Yacht Club Games. And fast forward to the success of their game, they actually have an office outside of like an actual yacht club on the coast of California.
That's awesome.
But they were really funny, like all the decisions they made for the game and why they did what they did. It was really cool.
Yeah, I have Shovel Knight on my Switch. I haven't beaten it, though. I need to get back to it.
That game's so awesome. It took me by surprise, for sure. Not that I didn't think it was going to be bad or anything, but I had so much more fun with it than I thought I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, awesome book. Almost done with it. I'm about to start the Destiny chapter, which is going to be interesting to read about now, considering everything that's going on with Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. We're going to talk a little bit about Destiny here in a bit.
Yeah, Destiny 2.
Cool. I kind of want to talk a little bit, just kind of pick you guys' brain about Anthem. With Destiny being in the position that it's in right now, and also EA being in the position it's in right now, it seems like Anthem has an amazing opportunity to sweep in and kind of kick the stool out from under Destiny.
Yeah.
And also write the things that EA has done wrong. So it can do two things. But do you guys think that it will even do one of those things?
That's a great question, because the more I read about BioWare, and I know there's different team members in BioWare now. I know Aaron Flynn's no longer at BioWare. Mm-hmm. But I don't know which portion of BioWare is working on Anthem, if it's all hands on deck for Anthem or what.
I think it's people.
I believe the team that made Andromeda got sucked up into Motive.
That's right. Yeah. So it's like hardcore BioWare working on Anthem.
Yeah, I know Casey Hudson's back working on
that's
this.
Right. Yeah. So it would be interesting to see what lessons EA has learned along the way, if they've learned any, or if they just stick to their guns, because based on the way, even though stuff we've read recently about the situation with was that studio just
Volition.
Shut down? Volition, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it Volition?
Yeah. The people that made Dead Space, right? Volition.
Yeah. So, and the way they handled everything with Dragon Age 2 and into Inquisition, and then obviously with Andromeda and everything, if they're more worried about just getting it out at a certain point, or if they really are interested in trying to steal that mantle from under Destiny,
because
they really can. I mean, they can see everything that Destiny has either done wrong or they could do better.
Yeah,
and they could really benefit off that, or if they just worried about EA having their Destiny. So
yeah,
I don't know. I hope they do things better than Destiny. Then again, I hear that Warframe does a lot of things better than Destiny.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I tried to get into Warframe twice and I just can't. It's cool and stuff, but I don't know. You would think that, especially just this year, the shitstorm that EA has caused, that, you know, you would think that they would try their best to right all the wrongs that they've done. And especially with Anthem coming out, you would think they wouldn't even, they've hit the drawing boards and are like, you know what? We just need to right all these wrongs. No microtransactions, like nothing. Just to get as far away from that as possible. Maybe once the game has been received well, maybe we'll try and get in some insignificant ones, you know, just at least something to initially right off the bat put out a really, you know, lengthy game with like a lengthy end game, a solid BioWare story, you know, a good loot, so, you know, just things that we would, you know, expect from this game with no microtransactions, just to get people on board. And maybe as EA, and I know this might be crazy for some people, but for EA to try to earn back people's trust, which I'm sure a lot of people would never, ever even think about doing something like that. But then they could maybe implement some DLC or something. But I don't know. I would, like I said, I would assume they would do something like that. But who knows if they will do something like that. Because I don't know that you could really kill two birds with one stone. You could, if this game is everything that people have wanted Destiny to be, just in terms of an incredible story, which BioWare is fully capable of. They've done it multiple times, and a really good in-game system that keeps you coming back. You know, they could dethrone Destiny.
Yeah, the problem with all this is that we don't know anything about Anthem. We don't know if this is going to be like Destiny. I'm sure it's going to be similar, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's from what we've seen, it looks Destiny-like. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that's probably...
That's definitely the goal they probably have in mind.
Yeah, probably. For sure.
But I'm just saying, it's still kind of hazy all these, what's going on.
But I mean, I think it's clear to say, I mean, Ubisoft tried to have their Destiny with The Division, and they were successful at some point. EA hasn't really tried.
A lot of people are loving The Division right now.
Yeah,
they've kind of corrected a lot of their wrongdoings, apparently.
I bet that's pretty fun on PC.
Yeah. I know they've
everything's
added,
fun on PC, what am I saying?
Look at you.
They've added, like, several, like, PvP modes, and people are really enjoying them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of capitalized on what people liked most about the game.
I really wanted to try that survival mode, or whatever
it
was.
Yeah, that did look cool. I mean, Ubisoft's doing a lot of great stuff, especially this year. Mm-hmm. They've put out a lot of really good stuff.
Heavy hitter coming out early next year, too. Yeah. Hopefully Far Cry lives up to fans' expectations, because I'm really excited about it. I love Far Cry.
Yeah.
So
as of now, like I said, I'm kind of about it. I'll probably get more excited as it comes close. But I was very about Assassin's Creed, and it completely took me by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Just with that and Mario Rabbids, and I don't even know what else they put out this year.
I can't remember the last time really I played an Ubisoft game.
Yeah,
maybe. I always forget that Siege is an Ubisoft game because it just doesn't even feel like one
and
at
it
all.
It, you know, really rose up this year in particular. Everybody's talking about it this year. So
I can't wait to play that some more. I'm so sad I have to go to work tonight.
I think For Honor is still doing good, right?
I think so. They have a very core audience for sure that keeps that game alive. Mm-hmm. I know it's not small, but it's not massive either.
Yeah.
So I had fun with the little bit we played of that.
Yeah, it was fun. But, oh, and Ghost Recon. That's one of the best-selling games of the year.
Yeah, Wildlands. It's such a surprise, too.
Yeah, Ubisoft's killing it this year. Yeah. I just completely forget about them.
I still want to give that game a real chance.
Yeah.
I want to try it.
I'll wait for it.
I think I might pick that up in Overwatch soon. It's been a long time coming. I can't believe I haven't picked up Overwatch yet on PC.
If you pick it up, I'll probably pick it up.
Wildlands?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I won't.
We don't want to play with you, Jacob, so
I'm just
problem
telling
solved.
You, I'm not gonna buy it.
We're going to have fun by ourselves.
I hope you do.
Yeah, I'll be... I don't know. I'm just interested in the whole Anthem thing, especially after this year. I'll be interested to see what they do. I wish them the best because I would love for that game to just be phenomenal. BioWare, you know, back in the spotlight with an amazing game. EA has corrected their wrongs and they've, you know, they've apologized.
Or at least BioWare will. We'll see if EA makes it out of the flames.
I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, you ready to get into some stuff?
One last thing about that before we continue. I would say we should have a huge amount of confidence in BioWare with Anthem because Inquisition was, in the book, it says it was their way of proving who they were again after Dragon Age 2.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Mass Effect 3 came out and that wasn't received well either just because of the ending. But Dragon Age 2, especially going into the next Dragon Age, they had something to prove. And I feel like after Andromeda, even though I'm sure a majority of Anthem's team had nothing to do with Andromeda, at least some of them will have something to prove with Anthem after BioWare's name has been torn down with Andromeda.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I'm sure we'll see more at E3 undoubtedly next year.
I still want to play through Andromeda.
I have no desire.
I just want to see. I want to see what it's like.
Just watch a YouTube video then.
I'll listen to the soundtrack.
That's the thing, is the gameplay isn't bad.
No, it's not. No. The characters suck so much.
Yeah, I know. They suck. Man. I don't know. I just kind of just want to see it. The thing that irritated me the most was the menus and the quest system. It was so hard kind of
organizing
what was on each planet and stuff.
I watched that hilarious montage of the facial animations before the game launched that that guy made that was floating around and got really popular. I think it was called Mass Effect Andromeda AAA game or something. It was so funny watching it again, dude. It's still just as funny as it was back then.
Yeah.
Did they miss their chance to make me a Mass Effect fan? They totally blew it.
It's a shame because that original trilogy, man, is so good.
Now that you have
a PC.
A PC and the games are on Steam right now for like less than $5, the original trilogy.
I don't want to play the first one.
The first one's good.
It introduces you to the world, really sort good. Of, and, yeah. and the races
one
and everything.
Is amazing.
I feel like it's the second so one good. Is, yeah, it's definitely the best
Does
one.
But
I feel like
hold up.
I yes. feel like, this, oh yeah, definitely. Yes. I think the second one would be slightly more impactful if you've played the first one because you get to know some of the characters. And leading
you bring your character, right?
Yeah, leading into Mass Effect 2, I feel like it makes it even better knowing some of those characters right into the gate. I think Mass Effect 2 you could start with and be fine.
The entire point of the second game is you have one mission. It is a suicide mission. And if you do not get if the crew doesn't trust you, if you don't earn their trust, if you don't do missions for them, if you don't prepare for the suicide mission, your entire team can die.
Yeah.
So the entire game is you prepping for this mission and building a relationship with these characters that were, a lot of them were introduced in the first game. Granted, there's a lot that are introduced in the second game. So I guess you could get, you know, a bigger impact out of the story if you played the first one. But that's also, hey, yeah, just play this insanely long game just to prep yourself for the second one. So it is, you know, it is a task to play through the first one. In terms of combat and stuff, the second one is way better.
Yeah.
The gunplay is better. It's not as, you know, the first Mass Effect's a little fidgety, even with its cover system. I think you literally just walk up to something and like push against it and you go into cover. Like it is a little wonky. Whereas the second one very much is like a Gears of War style, you know, combat style.
I might go back to it one day. I do want to do the BioShock collection too. I never played the first BioShock.
I get the feeling you would really get locked into Mass Effect 2 if you're in the right place at the right time to play it.
Yeah,
whenever you choose
as much
to play
as
it.
Sci-fi fan you are. And
yeah,
stuff,
and the
like,
music,
so
dude, the music
cool.
is incredible. If you like Tron soundtrack with Daft Punk,
Tron, yeah.
you will love Mass Effect's music. It's so good.
Yeah. Especially the second
language.
One into the third one gets a ton of crap. But it's really good.
Yeah, it's just the ending after you play through the whole trilogy. It's a little underwhelming, but the game itself is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's
and
on
even,
my radar.
Okay. I see. If we're in a drought,
you never quit playing Moria and Overwatch.
Definitely try it out. But
addicted.
Anything else?
I don't think so. I think that's about it.
Cool. This is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games. Obviously, you can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, over at youtube.com/It's Obvious Gaming. If YouTube isn't good for you, or you'd like to dig us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Audio Boom, Spotify, and other podcasting services. Please check the description down below for timestamps to skip throughout the podcast. Links to our social media pages are PlayStation Club, Xbox, or PlayStation, what's it called?
Community.
PlayStation Community, Xbox Club.
Ever since we got a Discord
channel.
I don't think we've gotten a single
just join our Discord channel. It's way better. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel already, please do so, and be sure to like and comment down below to get involved with the It's Obvious community. Doing so helps us out tremendously, and we would forever be in your debt. With all that out of the way, hey man, what's the news,
gentlemen? Before we jump into the actual news of the week, which there are some genuinely interesting stories, I figured we could reflect on 2017 as a year, as a whole, a little bit before we go into 2018. Obviously, today, when the podcast launches, it is January 1st of 2018, but we can take a quick look back at 2017, just in our personal lives and It's Obvious Gaming's experience this year, but there's two community questions that are very similar that I'm going to read that will bring us into that discussion. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we won't spend too much time on this or even the news stories leading up to the main topic and community questions because I'm very short on time as usual, which I've got to figure out how to do this podcast on days I don't work because it like really hinders us. But the first one comes from Gifty. Gifty says, "Hello, gentlemen. It's Gifty here. It's been a great year for both games and your channel. I've been more lurking recently without submitting any weekly questions, even though I have kept listening, so I hope I haven't been forgotten yet." Gifty, I was wondering when you were going to submit another question, my friend, and it's good to have you back. Going on, he says, "With the year coming to an end, I have a good lengthy question reserved for you. What have been the top milestones of this year for gaming, channel, or life-wise? For example, best things that have happened with your channel or community, or what have been your best gaming or life moments this year? This is a bit wider of a question, so the answer isn't restricted to one of those options by any means. Feel free to discuss freely however you like. I hope you had a nice Christmas, and I wish you a happy new year for the whole IOG crew and the community. Thank you, Gifty." Bohongeles, Mr. Kyle says, "Hello, gentlemen. As it may be a little late, congratulations on 2K. Well, thank you, Kyle. It's good to be here. My question is actually about your YouTube career. As the year comes to a close, what were some of your best memories and worst defeats this year in making content? Certain recording sessions you will remember for a while or complete failures of a video we never saw. Here's to 2 million by the end of 2018. Love you guys and keep at it. You rock." Kyle, you rock. So does the entire IOG community.
Yes.
Yes.
So let's talk about 2017 a bit. I guess we can talk about the channel first. I mean, we'll talk more about this, our 30-year anniversary coming up in February, but just in general, I think 2017 was a great year for It's Obvious Gaming. I mean, obviously, our growth is still very slow, but it is significant when you think about it. We gained, I think, 2,023 subscribers. Not 2,000, 1,023 subscribers this year.
Yeah.
2,023 is in total is the last time I checked. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. We can't thank you guys for subscribing. Even if you subscribe only because you listen on Spotify and just to support us and you subscribe, that still means a lot to us to reach that point. Because, you know, the more you grow on YouTube, the more you'll start appearing to other people searching for videos and on sidebars and everything. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
grateful for that support. And even just to make it to here, I didn't ever expect us to make it even this far when we started. I mean, obviously, we've always wanted to be as big as we can possibly be because we'd love to do this full time and experiment with all types of content that we just don't have the time or budget to do at the moment. Yeah. So we're very restricted to Let's Plays, podcasts, the occasional unboxing, and every now and then we'll do a goofy skit of some sort. But we missed our window on the Justice League VR experience. I had something hilarious in mind for that, like we did with Spider-Man, but we didn't have the time to do it. And life's only getting busier, especially for me. I'm juggling 1,000 things at once. I know Jacob's busy with work and Preston's busy with work, and he's a married man as well. So life is crazy, but we still manage to do this little channel every week. And without your support, we would have never in a million years made it this far. So you guys are the reason we are where we are right now. And it's been nothing short of a blessing and an incredible experience getting to know some of you over the internet. I know we never met any of you in person. Hopefully we have the chance to do so down the road. But just getting to know some of you over the internet, whether it's just playing games or having a conversation or reading your community questions or hearing your kind, supporting words in regards to our content has been very humbling and amazing. So thank you to all of you for that this past year.
Yeah. At the very least, I just like to think that we, through people just finding our content and watching it, they've connected and made relationships and they're playing games with each other, which is
even forget us, the fact that some of you have made friends with each other and play games and talk about stuff is awesome.
The Discord is the best thing we've done.
God bless the Discord. I'm glad we have that. So
I'm literally on there every day reading everything. It's a lot of fun.
It is. Yeah, it's funny because when we first started, we were always like, man, it'd be cool to have a community that we can like talk to every week. And we have that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So we're very grateful for that. As far as failures are concerned, I think there was only one or two videos we didn't put out this year that we shot. And the only reason being is one of them, maybe both of them were just super boring. They're like Let's Plays of games that just weren't interesting.
Was Ghost Recon this
Ghost
year?
Recon was one of
that
them,
was, yeah. That's one of the worst, I think, videos we probably would have put out.
Yeah, it was Wildlands. Me and Preston played the beta. And it was just whatever mission we were doing, we kept failing.
We were just not in it either.
No.
It was. I don't know.
I think it was also one of those nights where we just probably shouldn't have shot anything anyway because we had stuff going on. But let's just try to fit it in real quick because the beta's out and it just didn't go well. We didn't put it out because it was just stupid.
Yeah.
Wasn't I in another one that didn't?
I know. There may have been one other one that me and Jacob did that just was so boring. I can't remember what it was.
We had the Game Awards stream that was...
Yeah, that was disastrous. Well, disaster. It wasn't totally disastrous. The audio was a disaster. The video was okay.
Yeah.
When we refreshed it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I was sitting close to the computer. Yeah, that was a major goof on our end when I unintentionally reverted our audio settings to the default OBS settings, which was entirely incorrect. And the entire time I thought I was manipulating our voices through our mics, I was not doing anything at all. Mm-hmm. And it sounded awful. So to those of you who have refused to join us on Twitch since then, I don't blame you, but I encourage you to do so because our Twitch streams have gotten really solid recently. We finally kind of figured out how to properly make OBS function. So it's good.
I tried to play some music at the start of the stream.
I heard it. Yeah.
It went like, it sounded good. I don't think the music was too loud. It was just, it made my fucking stream like one frame per second.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
So I had to turn it off. I need to upgrade my...
Where were you playing music from?
Oh. It was a Spotify playlist. Mm. I found a playlist that was no copyrights.
Nice.
So thought I'd do that. Just for the sake of VODs, because Twitch mutes copyrighted music. And yeah, it just mutes your video.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's impressive. I didn't know it could do that.
So if you want people to rewatch your streams, you should probably not play copyrighted music.
Makes sense. Long. Or play your own music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just have Preston sit in the background of all the streams playing
mandolin.
Yeah.
Strum a guitar.
Anything else we're forgetting about this year? I mean, a couple things other than It's Obvious Gaming, I have to say, but from It's Obvious Gaming, is there anything else specific that we've not touched on?
We had a couple movie, we had Star Wars spoiler talks.
We had two videos that, yeah, one in particular that for us was considered a massive success, which was the Avengers Infinity War trailer reaction, which according to everyone in the comments, we reacted to nothing. We also sit too close to our mics, and because we look each other in the eye like gentlemen, we're all homosexuals because
we
of that.
We do need
too,
a bigger table.
All these things are new to me. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
So... But that was fun. That was definitely lightning in a bottle situation because we all just happened to be together on that random Wednesday when the trailer launched. I mean, we were together the moment. Like a couple hours after it went live, we shot that.
We were
and
podcasting
I put it out.
And the trailer went live.
Yeah. So that just happened to work out. I mean, I won't say never, but we're never together aside from those certain days for the podcast. And trailers typically don't drop on weekends. So that'll probably never happen
every
again.
Every once in a while, we get to do a... You know, like a review of a movie right after we see it when it goes. You know,
yeah,
like
and we were very slow with our Star Wars reviews, and the spoiler review did half decently.
It did.
So that's cool. It's funny, we've seen more success with movie stuff in the past than we have with games completely.
Yeah.
And every time one of our gaming videos slightly does well, and when I say do well, it gets over like 1,000 views. It's always like one of our worst videos. Like our Nier Automata beta video, I thought sucked so much. That's one of our worst videos,
I
think. I
have no idea how that video...
You know, like 2,500 views and it's so many dislikes. I don't blame them. I thought the video was terrible. I have like the longest, stupidest intro because I already didn't like the video to begin with, so I made the intro just really dumb.
I was like so uninterested in that video too.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not always...
Yeah, that's... I tried to have the mindset going for that let's pretend every video we do, which I usually have this mindset, but sometimes I just don't. But I tried to have the mindset like, this could get 1 million views. You just never know.
Yeah.
So, and I've seen that happen to people where it's just some random video and 100,000 people happen to see it. So you don't want it to be the one that just sucks and 100,000 people are like, well, this is stupid. I'm not subscribing or liking it or anything. So, but YouTube is an interesting beast, man. I know we're one of a billion people that try to do YouTube, but just our experience alone, it has been exhausting, but very rewarding. And not in the sense of like, oh, we have subscribers and people liking our videos and commenting, which we all greatly appreciate. I mean, we would be nothing without that. But all of you that, like I said, we have the community is what's been the most rewarding aspect of it. It's been awesome. So 2017 was awesome. We hope for many more great experiences in 2018. I hope we grow even more than just 1,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
It's difficult to do that when, like I said, 1 million people are doing very similar things to us on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to break through that mold as it we is. Crawl out of the... pits of despair in YouTube.
Yep.
We can see a slight crack.
Yeah, at least we're crawling
in the darkness of light.
Yeah.
It's
so far away, but yeah, we can see it.
I mean, we haven't hit a wall yet, so.
And our community is beneath us, pushing us upward.
Yes.
Helping us climb.
Mm-hmm. And to help with that, if you haven't done so, if you are one of the Spotify listeners, please come subscribe at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming and also go to iTunes and subscribe to us there and leave us a review.
iTunes has the biggest potential to open the floodgates.
Yeah. Those two little things, those could be
what changes
your
everything.
Christmas gift to us or
the New Year's instead of giving a champagne a New Year's, a little review on iTunes. Toast.
Yes. So
that's
easy.
The toast.
Yeah. Just the next time you're taking a dump or waiting for a bus or waiting on your food, anything, take the 5 seconds to do those two things. That could help us out just astronomically. We would very, very much appreciate it.
We would.
Yeah.
In life, 2017 was one of the best years of my life. It was.
Mine too.
Yeah. Purely just based off life experiences and the career path I'm pursuing, it's been very beneficial and amazing. Getting to know the guys from COD Connected, I'm very glad I reached out to them earlier this year. So I've been very lazily reaching out to several websites in the past and with intentions to either write for them or produce some sort of video for them. And when I found COG, they had a job posting that had expired like 4 months previously, but I was like, I'm going to email them anyway. And I'm glad I did, because a week later I was at E3 with them. So I never thought at the end of 2017, I will have not only been to E3, but I will have worked it like from start to finish every single day, worked it and contributed to a website, and then go to PAX, and then go to Bungie 3 times, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, all in 1 year for video game stuff. It's been amazing. The fact that it's definitely exhausting to an extent, because I'm trying to do It's Obvious Gaming. I'm trying to go to school. I have projects from school that I have to do after class. I have work. And then I have, I already said COG. All those four things combined are just death. I don't have free time. That's why I say I play like, that's why I've been sticking to a lot of multiplayer games aside from Metros, because I can play those in bite-sized chunks. It's just so hard for me to commit to a narrative-driven game or a single-player game, because it's just so time-consuming, depending on what it is. So it's tough, but it's worth it, because the road I'm pursuing, I'm proud of, and I'm happy about it, and it's what I want to do. So 2017 was awesome, and I'm very grateful for all those opportunities that COG has provided. So between It's Obvious Gaming and COG and school and work, it's been great. So I'm excited for 2018. We'll see where it goes. I'm happy to be along with you guys for the ride.
Can't stop burping from this Taco Bell. It's just tearing me up.
I can't stop Putin under the table. Oh. It's been lighting up a storm under there.
Oh, really?
It's like a hurricane of flatulence.
Wow. I'm surprisingly fine after my meal.
Yeah, my tummy doesn't hurt. I just, it's like a natural laxative for me, especially on this tradition we have of going every Saturday.
Yeah.
So my body's just trained to want to poop immediately after eating it on Saturdays.
How would you guys feel about going somewhere else besides Taco Bell?
Dude, I don't know if I can at this point. We've been doing it for so long.
Why would you even say that, Jacob?
Because there's a lot of good foods out there.
There is, but you and I just need to choose to go eat together whenever.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Let's say you go to the gym. You're like, I could use a nice meal. I know you eat at home a lot.
Meal after the gym.
I know, but I know your mom cooks incredible meals.
She does.
But you and I need to just go out and eat together more often. How about that? I tried to get both of you to go to American Cub. You're both busy.
I was.
That meal was unforgettable.
What about, we never go on dates anymore.
It's because we're so far apart.
I know. But it's fine.
We can meet
halfway.
Yeah, I want you and I to go shoot again and get Dreamland again.
I would love that.
Let's do it.
We have so many videos we can make at my house.
I know. I was going to say, I need to choose a day, which I don't know if you're available at all next week, but I have I might have all of next week off. Mm. It's my last full week with nothing to do. Mm. So if you had a day or even an evening for me to come over and shoot a couple videos, like I think LA Noir is a must. I think Fallout's a must, especially Vive stuff. I think we should definitely do that.
We could do that.
LA Noir looks absolutely incredible in VR. I've seen the funniest videos I've ever seen in VR from that. LA's finest, God help us all. So funny. I would have a blast in that game.
That's fun. Anyways. So,
Jacob can come too if he wants.
No, I'm not driving there.
Why?
Because
he's a wimp.
I'm going to be working all week. So
took me less than an hour to get here this morning.
That's great.
I know.
It was weird. Even when I was going to T-Bot, the road seemed very quiet today. It's because everyone's chilling in between now and New Year's.
Yes. Even my trip through the Mall of Georgia was nothing.
It was a breeze.
Yeah, it was a breeze.
So people very are surprising. Sitting at home.
Speaking of New Year's, I'm slightly nervous about work tonight and tomorrow because, and this is from every sound guy that's worked at Smith's has told me, you're going to be running monitors for the hardest band to work with in the city tomorrow. I'm like, well, who's this? They go by the name Rumors, and they are a Fleetwood Mac tribute band. And they are so popular for some reason that they believe that they are Fleetwood Mac. Even the vocalist calls herself Stevie Nicks on social media and everything. She thinks she is Stevie Nicks.
Okay.
And they're so high maintenance and sassy that they actually had one of Smith's sound guys fired the last time they played, because they just didn't like him, and they complained, and the staff fired him. Granted, the guy had attitude problems. I was running sound for him, and he was just a douche apparently. Yeah. So that's why he was fired. And the reason why Smith fired him is because this band brings in so much money that they don't give a shit about their staff at this point, because the band brings in so much money. And I've heard that the monitor guy just gets crapped all over the entire time. You can be the best sound guy in the world, they will find something to complain about. He says they will treat you like crap. They will probably call you names. He's like, but you just have to suck it up and deal with it. I'm like, well, good thing the Lord blessed me with an abundance of patience, because I'm going to need it tonight.
Good luck.
That's the thing about monitors, is that you're working just as hard as the front of house guy, but after sound check, your job's pretty much done, unless in the middle of a show someone's like, can you give me more guitar? That rarely happens, but the hardest part of the whole night is sound check, because this band apparently is very specific about what they want. So we'll see how that goes. I may lose my job tonight, but we'll see. Nice. So they play tonight and then tomorrow for New Year's, along with the Dirty Doors, who is a Doors tribute band. Yeah. And they're awesome. I mean, if you close your eyes, you'd think you're hearing the Doors. That's how good they are. And they're also very popular, but they're very nice. I've run sound for them multiple times. So we'll see. If I can make it through tonight, tomorrow will be easy, because we'll have saved their scene and their sound check. So I won't have to worry about tomorrow. I just have to survive tonight. So we'll see. But yeah, let's talk about news finally. Listen, do you guys have anything else to add about 2017? I don't want to.
Well, I got married.
You did. That's huge.
Yeah, so that's pretty big.
I always forget that when you're like, me and my wife, I'm like taken aback for a second. One of our other best friends is getting married in March.
Yeah.
So weird times we're in.
It is.
But wonderful times too.
Yes.
Yeah.
In terms of just personal life stuff, that's pretty much the most substantial thing that happened this year.
Yeah.
So.
And we all transitioned to the PC Master Race.
We did.
And now, I understand why people say that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not the kind of PC gamer that I'm like, consoles suck. I love consoles. I still love consoles. I'm pumped for all the PS4 exclusives we're getting this year. But I get now why people love PC gaming so much. Yeah. I totally get it.
The exception of the Switch. When I play that, it's fine. But when I have to go play like Nier on the console, I'm like, I play PS4.
It's funny you say that, because I felt that way because I played Wolfenstein 2 on console, and then I really got into playing PC games extensively. Uh-huh. And as soon as I found out that I had to play Wolfenstein 2's DLC, I was like, crap. I was like, I have to go in my other room. I have to turn on the PlayStation.
Use a joystick.
Use a controller. I'm like, gosh. But I almost want to pick up Wolfenstein just to experience on PC, because I love it on PS4. Yeah, but ever since I started playing a lot of Siege.
No, I didn't say that. I picked up the Freedom Chronicles season pass. Found it for like $10 on some.
That's another beautiful thing about PC. Yeah. I found this brand new DLC for Wolfenstein 2 for $10.
Well, the entire season's pass for $10.
Yeah.
And I played through like the first chapter of this act or whatever. And I mean, it's more Wolfenstein, but it's so fun. I love Wolfenstein. And yeah, it's great on PC.
Well, let's not forget that there were a lot of great games that came out this year.
Oh, I don't think we will forget that at all. We might actually talk about that right now, maybe.
What are we talking about?
Just all the good games that came out this year.
Yeah, we can talk about that. I mean, we kind of talked about it last week, but
kind of short on time.
We are.
I have like 15 minutes. So I'm going to blaze through the news, and maybe we'll do like one or two community questions.
Yeah.
So the first one's PS Plus free games for January. We have Deus Ex Mankind Divided. Please play that if you haven't.
Yes.
That game's so awesome.
That's one of my favorite games of this past console generation.
How many times you played through it now? Like 1,000?
Five times.
Yeah, so I kind of want to play it on PC again.
So I have it on PC too.
I want to play it again.
It's fantastic.
I'm going to download it.
Game's awesome.
Who won the free copy?
Edgar?
Send it back, Edgar. I'll give it to somebody else.
Yeah, it's okay, Edgar. It was cool that he was our first giveaway winner. I thought it was so funny. I think we made a joke about that. Like, what if Edgar wins and Edgar won? So we had a much smaller audience at the time.
Yeah, he was one of the first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Edgar, man. I remember the first time he commented was on our, when we were in Orlando working for SMS.
Oh, yeah.
And it was our backlog video.
Yeah.
I mean, he submitted the question for that episode. So he was here before that.
Oh, wow.
So Batman the Telltale series, I assume this is the entire series when you get it for free. You get all the future content.
That's also great.
Yeah, especially season one. Can't say much about season two. I haven't played it.
But it's on the Switch.
So?
It's the Switch, dude.
If I had a choice, I'd probably play it on Switch. But I mean, if you can get it for free on PlayStation, why not?
Might as well. Yeah.
But it's
a lot of easy platinums there, too.
Yeah.
Starblood Arena on PSVR. It's that arena fighting game.
Yeah.
Sacred 3 on PS3, The Book of Unwritten Tales, PS3, Psychopass Mandatory Happiness on Vita, crossed by with PS4, and also Uncanny Valley on Vita and PS4. Cool, man.
Yeah.
Great.
Destiny 2's leaked Gods of Mars expansion. Sounds really cool. Am I interested? Yeah. Absolutely not, but it sounds cool.
This is where they right the wrongs.
Yeah.
This is all speculation, by the way. It's been proven wrong in a lot of ways.
Right. Already. I think it's legit, though. Gods of Mars sounds like Destiny. Even the poster that looks like it leaked looks exactly like Curse of Osiris, so it's probably real, and I'll probably find out in a couple. I'll probably be going back to Bungie soon, so I'll confirm for you.
You're
going to
be playing all these DLCs, and like, you're
that's what's so
play
funny.
Yourself.
I'm like, every time I think about Destiny,
so you're always
like,
going to know about it.
But I love going to Bungie because it's just so cool. But when it's Destiny, I'm like, God. If it was on PC, I'd be even more excited because it feels great on PC. Especially going back to PS4 Destiny, I'm like, for fuck's sake.
It's sad seeing Bungie in such a bad spot right now.
I know. I want them to succeed. Like I said last week,
I
love
feel
Bungie.
Bad for them, though.
No, I'm exaggerating to be silly, but I want Destiny 2 to bounce back really badly. And, I love going to Bungie. That's an incredible opportunity I would never pass up. You could send me to play the crappiest game in the world. If I'm going to Bungie, I'll play it. So I'm not saying Destiny's that bad. But this comes from Anthony Backus of COG. He says, a full product page and description for God of Mars was uploaded to the US and Japanese PSN stores. The page has since been deleted, but Reddit user Gods of Mars Leak managed to grab a few screenshots. According to the leak, Gods of Mars will be released in March 2018 and will finally add what Destiny fans have been waiting for, a new enemy faction. The full description reveals that Gods of Mars will take the Guardians to an entirely brand new area called the Frigid Vale of Mars. Charlemagne? I think that's how you pronounce
Charlemagne.
That. Charlemagne? Is that what it is? we'll take the... Oh, wait. Has been reawoken on Mars and has imprisoned Rasputin inside of an ancient vault. Players will team up with Anna Bray to fend off Charlemagne's... What do you say? Is that what it is?
Charlemagne.
Charlemagne's enemy forces and discover the secrets of Clovis Bay. Gods of Mars will add a slew of new content, including the aforementioned enemy faction, which may be Charlemagne's remnants, new bosses, missions, weapons, armor, gear, new cooperative activities, and new competitive multiplayer arenas. That's definitely for real. That sounds totally like Destiny. I wanted to go back to Mars in the main game, so I'm glad we're going back. And
different
technically
part of Mars,
a new
I guess.
Part of Mars, yeah. So will I play it? Well, yeah, I'll play it, but I won't like play it on my own thing.
It won't be on your time.
Right, so I think that sounds cool. I love the title too, Gods of Mars. That sounds awesome.
I'm just more interested to see what they're going to do when they come back from their winter break.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm just waiting for that blog post or whatever, the article, whatever it's going to be.
Right.
Or video. Or Twitch stream, whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't know what to expect at this point.
Yeah.
So. Red Dead 2, is it coming in June? Well, according to the European retailer Cool Shop, a popular video game chain, Red Dead 2 is listed on their site for June 8th, 2018. That's a Friday. Is it legit, gentlemen?
Very well could be.
I think it might because yes. Red Dead, the original one, launched May 17th that year.
I remember.
And this is another summer date, and it's shortly before E3. So I could very well see, not that E3 has anything to do with it, but I could see this being for real.
Now that we're all PC Remaster Race guys, does that sadden you that this isn't coming to PC initially?
Is it not?
Or if ever?
Is it not?
Rockstar Games never do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Red Dead Redemption
I totally
never
forgot
came
about
to PC.
That. Holy
GTA, like
crap.
A year to
yeah,
come
it took
to
GTA
PC.
A whole forever. Yeah.
Doesn't that suck?
Yeah, it does.
It's okay.
It'll still be great on PS4.
Is, I guess.
That's a shame.
Or the Xbox One X. The best way to play Red Dead Redemption 2.
I hope it's real.
The PUBG on Xbox is so bad. Don't get it.
Dude, you just hate Xbox.
Don't be a hater, Jacob.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you, people.
You're just a Sony pony.
This next one comes from Aaron Castillo of COD Connected. Apparently, gaming disorder is about to be filed as an actual disease. Mm. The World Health Organization is set to declare excessive gaming to be an official disorder sometime in 2018 for the first time in history. Here's the following description. See if this pertains to any of us. Impaired control over gaming, like onset, frequency, intensity, duration, termination. Increasing priority given to gaming to the extent that gaming takes precedence over the other life interests and daily activities.
Yes.
World of Warcraft.
Definitely. Continuation or escalation of gaming despite the occurrence of negative consequences. The behavior pattern is of sufficient severity. That's how you pronounce that word, right? I know it's severity. Severity.
Yeah.
To result in significant impairment in personal, family, social, educational, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. The pattern of gaming behavior may be continuous or episodic and reoccurrent. The gaming behavior and other features are normally evident over a period of at least 12 months in order for a diagnosis to be assigned, although the required duration may be shortened if all diagnostic requirements are met and symptoms are severe. So yes, this pertains to all three of us. We have the gaming disorder. That's interesting. That's being filed as something. I've actually never in my life, I'm sure these, some of these people exist, but I've never in my life met anyone that's that obsessed with video games.
Yeah. No, I haven't met anybody. Mm. But like, I'm kind of ignorant when it comes to stuff like this, but like,
so am I.
What does it mean?
Oh no, you're like, addicted to games. There's a lot of worse things to be addicted to.
Yeah, like nobody, I don't know. I guess you can get, I guess parents can like submit their children and they'll get deemed to have this disorder. And
deemed?
Will they go on like medication or treatment or?
How do you treat that?
It's just counseling, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, I guess. I don't know.
I don't have a problem with my disorder, I guess.
It's funny. I'm glad my parents...
That's the thing. It's like, do you even need to be treated with a disorder? If you're playing video games enough to where it's actually ruining your life, like, it's common sense that it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, something needs to be done about it. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. It's kind of just whatever to me. It's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny.
I mean, it's much easier to just play more games when you're younger, but even as you get older, I feel like more and more people, like, they understand that you have other things that are more important.
Yeah.
It's like,
and we've all had that in terms of the negative repercussions. I've stayed up so many times and then I'm just done for the next day. Sure. Yeah. I would never do anything.
Almost always worth it though.
Yeah. But, I don't know. There's worse things you could do, like miss like your daughter's piano recital because you were raiding or something.
Right. Get addicted to a drug.
Worse.
I mean, that'd be worse.
I'm glad my parents provided me with video games as a child growing up because it kept me out of a lot of trouble. Sure. I like video games to the point where I would have rather been playing them than going to like parties and stuff at school. Not that I was hardly ever invited to parties.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. You socialize less.
Right, but I mean, I don't have any social problems and I played video games more than I hung out with people as a child. So
yeah, same here.
I'm not saying that's...
It's funny, a lot of my skills on a keyboard were developed on MMOs like RuneScape, for example. I learned to type very quickly playing RuneScape.
I still suck ass at typing.
I only type with my two index fingers, which sounds ridiculous, but I'm extremely fast with those two fingers.
I'm like trying to type on stream and I'm like...
What's funny is my mother is like a freaking robot and she like... I don't know, I guess just... But part of her job, she's constantly typing stuff. But I always assume that I would be a faster typer than her because I'm on the computer a ton. But she's just like she doesn't look or anything.
Yeah, I'm amazed.
Granted,
that
was like
can
really
type with
taught.
All their fingers.
That was taught
it was.
Back. That was never taught when I went to school. But they like had typing classes and stuff.
I had a couple classes.
I know she did
in middle school where they tried to teach typing, like where you go through tutorials exactly where to place your fingers, and I could never get into using all my fingers.
I never even had those at school. I don't remember ever doing that. So, I don't know.
The only time I use multiple fingers is when I'm playing games on PC, which is, I know, as much as I love games on PC, especially shooters, I think it's hysterical how much you have to use your hands just to do with the smallest thing. Yeah. Like to move around, you're using three fingers, to crouch, you're using your pinky, and then to do other things, you're moving other. It's hilarious to me. Whereas on a controller, you're just using your thumbs. Yeah. But again, I love PC. It's been great.
I mean, that's the thing is I use my controller probably more than my keyboard and mouse, though.
Interesting.
Because I've just been playing, like, Nier Automata. Yeah, I'm not using a keyboard and mouse for that.
For that, I would use a controller.
Assassin's Creed, no.
I've been playing mostly shooters on PC.
Even, like, Evil Within, even though you technically aim and shoot, that's just a different type of game, so I use a gamepad. Mm-hmm. But, if anything requires, if I'm shooting a lot, then, yeah, I'll use the mouse. But if it's not, then I just plug in a PlayStation controller.
Gentlemen, a Russian man died playing VR in his living room this past week.
That's sad.
2 weeks ago. It's very sad.
Really?
It reminded me of you smashing your TV with a controller.
Yeah.
It says, according to TASS, a Russian news outlet, a 44-year-old man's body was found on the 21st of December in his home on Marshall Zhukov Avenue. According to the preliminary information, while moving around the apartment in virtual reality glasses, the man tripped and crashed into a glass table, suffered wounds, and died on the spot from a loss of blood.
Mm.
He was playing a Star Wars VR experience.
Was it that Jedi thing?
Yeah, was it that Jedi thing with the lightsaber?
I think so.
Disney's at it again.
You know what? I know this is kind of a side note, and that's very tragic that the man died, and probably his family is, like, devastated, so I'm just already going to say that that's tragic. But on a side note, why hasn't there been an incredible Star Wars VR game yet?
I know, it should be
like,
so
it's
easy.
It's common sense. There's, a little experience on Vive where you're, like, on Tatooine, and you can hold a lightsaber.
And like the R2 and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bro, do you not remember the Star Wars Kinect game?
Oh, my bad.
That's all we'll ever need.
That's all we need. But it's just, why not? The motion, it's like, that is how you do it right there. That's all I have to say.
I second the notion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of tragic incidents in gaming, there's a fatal swatting over a COD dispute as well.
This one pisses me off.
Yeah.
This one's so dumb.
Mm-hmm. It is. I was going to read the entire story, but long story short, two players had bet a very small amount of money. I think it was $2 on a COD match. One of them got really pissed when they lost, and they were both threatening to swat each other. Somewhere in there, there's the details how they got each other's addresses, but one of them went through, was a man of his word, and swatted the other gentleman, which if you don't know what swatting is, it's basically when someone calls a local police station near where you live and say that your address, there's a hostage situation or something like that. And of course the SWAT team comes out and either burst into your home or knocks on your front door, which is interesting. Side note, when I was at that Champions of Fire thing in New York, half of the streamers had been swatted before. And they said it's sometimes it's scary and other times it's just very frustrating because they'll have to go to their front door and explain to them that no, it's a prank.
Oh, it's incredibly dumb. And as you see right here, people can die.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell the authorities that there's a hostage situation and them not go into that situation
with the utmost seriousness.
Yeah, exactly. And it just wastes resources. It puts people's life on the line all for a stupid joke because you're dumb and don't need to be a part of society.
And the worst part is it wasn't even really it wouldn't make a difference how bad either. They would both be terrible, but the kid that was supposed to be swatted, they went to the wrong address and they killed an innocent
man. I think he gave the guy the wrong address on purpose.
Oh, on purpose.
Yeah.
They didn't even kill the guy?
No.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
the guy gave him a random address and now some random.
The guy opened his door and they shot and killed him.
See, I never read the article. I just saw the headline.
The guy opened his door and they shot and killed him.
Which I don't know the
we don't know what was
in depth. I don't know anything about that. I just know that the situation that led up to that guy being shot was two idiots doing this thing. And it's I know they caught the guy that did it and just, I don't know.
It's sad.
I hope.
Isn't that a certain degree of manslaughter if you like?
I think it's involuntary.
Is that what it is?
Maybe. I don't know. It just, that kid is just, he needs, I don't know what should happen to him, but nothing good should happen to him.
Why would that thought even cross your mind?
Stupid. It happens so much.
I know.
That it's just a bunch of stupid kids.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of idiot kids that have no clue what they're doing and just the negative repercussions that could come of them just doing one of the dumbest things you could possibly do. And it's ridiculous.
Kind of like when you dialed 911 that one time.
Exactly.
Yeah, have we told that story? I don't have time to tell it now.
No, but yeah, we've told it like probably 8 times. I didn't say there was a hostage situation.
Yeah.
I dialed 911 and shut the call. And hung it up. So, anyways.
Good times.
Hmm.
Let's talk about, I guess briefly, the most anticipated games of 2018.
Okay.
Traditionally, we'd have the Nerdmuch official list, but I couldn't find it on their site.
Oh, no.
Maybe I should have contacted Reese, but I didn't.
I guess they're not nerds much.
Oh.
Red Dead.
I mean, I guess, yeah, Red Dead obviously is at the very tippy. I mean, that depends if Spider-Man's coming out this year. There's so many what-ifs for 2018.
There really are, yeah.
We at least know, I'm pretty confident that Red Dead and God of War are coming out.
For sure.
This next year, for sure. And those are probably, out of the for sures, those are my two most anticipated games.
Me too. I'd like to think that
I'd like Anthem to come out this
year. I'd like to think that Detroit's going to come out.
No way.
Yeah, Detroit.
Yeah, I think Detroit is. I think, didn't the guy say spring at
PSX?
I think he said spring at PSX. I don't know, I'll see that when I believe it.
Mm-hmm. People still seem to think that Last of Us might come out this year.
That's dumb.
No way.
They already came out and said that it's 50% done. That's like 2020. 2019, 2020.
We got...
is there a lot even confirmed?
Bayonetta 3.
Bayonetta 3. Is that next year? I know the trilogy or the 1 and 2 are coming out next
after
year.
After the trailer, there was 2018.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Maybe this year.
I'm interested in Bayonetta 1 and 2. I'll definitely pick up that collection on Switch and play those for sure.
I think Kirby. I'm just thinking of
Nintendo Kirby and Yoshi
right now.
Are coming out. Yeah, Metroid Prime. There's no way that's coming out next year. Absolutely no way. Do we know if the Pokemon game's coming out next year for Switch? Probably not.
I mean, they didn't even have an image for that.
Yeah, they just said they're working on it. Yeah. Sea of Thieves? Sea of Thieves is coming out. Crackdown's coming out. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about Crackdown, but Sea of
Thieves. I totally forgot about Crackdown.
Has piqued my interest. I think Sea of Thieves could be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
So. I know there was a beta for it. Did you hear any, impressions for it or anything? I haven't heard anybody talk about that.
I haven't heard anything either. We should hear a lot in February. Okay. There's a big preview event happening for that.
Okay.
You guys excited for Skull and Bones?
No. Not even in the slightest.
I think it's a really bold and respectable idea to produce that, especially coming off. I know it's not involved with Assassin's Creed, but it's clearly...
If it was a full-on pirate game
if you don't have
open world pirate
avatar, then I'm not interested at all.
Yeah, it's just a ship combat game.
Who cares about ships?
No thanks. There's already games like that. I saw them on Steam, where it has like a similar name and everything.
I got to hand it to Ubisoft, though, for taking risks like that, because most publishers probably wouldn't do anything like that. Like Steep, for example. Yeah. I mean... I'm sure there's people that really enjoy the game. I've enjoyed the beta I played, but that's probably sold less than 1 million copies, if I had to guess, maybe 1 million. I haven't looked into that. I don't think anyone has any idea, but that, Skull and Bones, the very bold, little things like that is cool to see, even though I don't really have much of an interest in it.
You think we're going to get any hardware this year? We had Pro 2 years ago, Pro in 2016. We had Switch, Xbox One X, and 17. You think we're going to get
anything? I
think
so. Maybe it's like a new model of some VRs, maybe, but no.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, they're not going to do an updated Switch.
No,
we just
got
two updated main consoles, so this probably...
I don't think we're
going to
see a new console announcement for PlayStation until E3.
I'll see like some
2019
consoles.
Probably.
That's a safe bet.
Well...
What else is coming out this year?
I don't know. I know Far Cry is.
I'd love to go into depth as to why these games are the most anticipated, but we just don't have the time, unfortunately.
That's fine. I can for sure say, though, if Spider-Man is getting a 2018 release date, which I'm going to hold my hope on that, that's my most anticipated game of the year for sure.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
Followed by Red Dead.
Then Spider-Man.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that was it. It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. Sorry, it was a little short this week. Granted, it still wasn't that short. It was like an hour and 45
minutes
or whatever.
I'm going to save these questions for next week, I guess.
Okay.
So,
Sounds good.
I apologize. There's no community questions this week.
Well, we had two.
Yeah, we did at the beginning. Yeah. I have a very, very important work day I have to get to.
Yeah, absolutely.
We goofed on time.
We'll have to just suck it up and meet earlier from now on because I hate having to hinder the podcast just because I have to go to work.
Isn't it funny? Our shorter podcasts are longer than most people's long podcasts. It's funny. But anyways, please check us out at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. Please go to iTunes, leave us a rating and a review down there. That'll help us out a ton. Please check out our Discord channel. Check the description down below for our Steam names, PlayStation names, everything you possibly could ever want to contact us, play games with us or whatever. But I think that's pretty much everything. We appreciate you guys tuning in with us on this New Year's. We hope everybody has a really good 2018 and have fun playing games and good times with your family this year. But anything else you guys want to say?
Be on the lookout for streams this week.
Definitely.
I'll be streaming at least once, and I'm sure Garrett will.
I'm going to try to stream almost
every
night
Rainbow Six Siege, so I'll definitely hop in with you at some point.
Yeah, I think we should make it a goal. I have the ability to do this in addition to whatever night you're able to stream every night this week, Monday through Friday.
Cool. Well, check us out at twitch.tv/itsobviousgaming, or just search It's Obvious Gaming in Twitch, and you will see us. And follow us on there. That would be really cool. We'd like to get a sub button at some point.
I actually had two follows. for our stream. I'd never seen that image pop up.
I might just send you the entire OBS file that includes our Streamlabs notifications.
Oh,
yeah, I have those all set up too, so I will send you that version.
The first time I heard that like sound, I was like, what is that? Is that in the game?
What sound
I was playing Doki Doki.
Whenever someone follows, it's the GIF of Ace Ventura. He's like, alrighty then, or
like
something. And then if anyone donates, which is rare, it's the guy from Oblivion. He's like, thank you. That guy.
That's funny.
So,
all right, guys. Well, it's been a good week, and we hope to see you guys next time.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. See ya.